Day two, Mystic Council meeting. A couple announcements before we roll into it. Just a reminder, we will be having a sunset cruise sponsored by our Connecticut council members. Just a couple of things to note. It'll be from about 7 to after sunset, so roughly 9-ish. We will be meeting at the Stonington Town Dock, 1 High Street, if you want to there in person. Carpooling is encouraged. Obviously, there's probably not a lot of room there. A couple things to note. This will be, we kind of pushed it back to 7, so it gives everyone a chance to get some dinner beforehand, because probably when we get back, there's probably not much options to eat after. We will have some light snacks, I believe, on board, and some childish-type beverages. Let's put it that way. Just know, when this will be on a commercial vessel, we just want to make sure that people understand that, you know, no flip-flops, no open-toed shoes, you know, just something a little more sturdy, obviously no alcohol. So that will be this evening at 7 o'clock. Also, just a reminder, we have public comment today at noontime. Anyone that wants to make a public comment, please see Alex Dunn in the back, or if you're online, please email Alex. And also today, before we leave here today, you'll be given a little homework to do. We'll go through that related to risk policy weightings, but I think Jonathan will give us a presentation, kind of walk us through it before we give you your homework. Should be pretty quickly. And that's all I got here, and I will kick it over to Chair Griffin for the Scout Committee report.
Thanks, Chair. Good morning. We're going to have several updates. Connor's got a presentation for us on our current work priorities, including, you know, the current state of the fishery and our strategic plan, RSA priorities. I do have two committee motions related to the research set-aside priorities, and then one motion to initiate our specs and Framework 42 management measures, which are the sub-management areas in the Northern Gulf of Maine and regional days at sea allocation. But I'll kick it over to Connor.
Thank you, and good morning, council members. Connor Buckley on council staff. As the chair said, I'll be going through, first off, a quick round of updates on the state of the scallop fishery, kind of finishing off fishing year 2025 and early 2026 fishery performance. Some quick qualitative updates on the 2026 scallop surveys. I'll cover some of the updates on scallop work priorities, namely the contract around developing a new scallop stock projection model and our implementation plan for the scallop strategic plan. And then dive into scallop framework 42, which is an action to set catch specifications for fishing year 2027 and 2028 default. Development of sub-management areas within the Northern Gulf of Maine, and then region-specific day-at-sea allocations for the limited access component. And then lastly, on scallop research set-aside priorities, we'll have some updates on recent grant awards, and then queue up the scallop committee's recommendations for priorities for 2027 and 2028. And we'll be looking for council action regarding the initiation of the scallop framework 42 and potentially a separate specifications action, which we'll talk about, as well as approving the scallop RSA priorities for 2027 and 2028. So kicking things off, an update on the closing out of fishing year 2025, which obviously ended at the end of March of this year. Both the limited access and general category IFQ components finished above the projected landings for the year, with the limited access component landing about 1.4 million pounds over the annual projected landings, so about 108% of the APL, still well below the sub-ACL for fishing year 2025. Overall, this is really a slightly improved fishery conditions from the real rock bottom in fishing year 2024. This was largely driven by two kind of separate events, some windfall harvest both in the Nantucket Lightship West back in May and June of 2025, and then in March of 2026 on Stellwagen Bank south of the 4220. And that's really continued into fishing year 2026. So we've seen LPUE really back above 2,000 pounds per day fairly consistently for the beginning of this fishing year, really driven by strong open bottom landings in the mid-Atlantic, which is largely comprised of a four-year-old cohort. And so we've seen high survival and strong growth from those animals, likely driven by a prevailing cold bottom water temperature conditions that we've seen throughout the Northeast. And so catch rates generally around 2,100 to 2,400 pounds per day. That's fairly improved from both 2024 and 2025. Since then, the fisheries started to spread out from the mid-Atlantic up into the channel and then harvesting their remaining 2025 allocations in Area 2, which was talked about yesterday. On the right, just highlighting something that we're following closely, that the limited access component is has harvested a larger proportion of their sub-ACL relative to this point in the fishing year, relative to previous years. So it's about 30% of the sub-ACL. Here shown in the graph, the sub-ACL in the orange columns and their proportion harvested by this point in previous fishing years. So that it is something that we're following to see if if catch rates continue to be this high, that the fishery might approach their sub-ACL. The accountability measures have yet to be triggered for the limited access component, but that would consist of a day at sea reduction in the subsequent fishing year equal to the excess landings. The exception to that would be if the limited access component's fishing mortality rate were deemed to be at or below the fishing mortality rate equivalent to the annual catch target, which would be an F of 0.29. Some quick updates from the ongoing scallop surveys. I'll run through these pretty quick. In the Gulf of Maine, we've seen some fairly substantial declines on Stellwagen Bank, as well as a little bit on the kind of southern portion of Jeffrey's Ledge. But the qualitative report that I've heard from the Gulf of Maine is the northern part of Jeffrey's Ledge is still looking fairly healthy. Some patches of 1 and 2 year old scallops throughout. On George's Bank, the UMass Dartmouth drop camera survey noted some recruitment in southern area too. Relatively few predators in the area and kind of the inverse throughout the southern flank, with low abundance, not much recruitment in the southern flank, and large numbers of sea stars. The exception is around one hotspot that was noted in the 2025 surveys that started to spread out. The Nantucket Lightship, which we've talked about in, last year as really being a very substantial proportion of the biomass left on George's Bank, has seen continued growth and very high densities still there observed. We've seen some evidence of higher natural mortality there with some sea stars present in the area. And then in the mid-Atlantic, the VIMS dredge survey noted still some high biomass and good yields in the elephant trunk up through the Hudson Canyon, but no signs of recruitment and very low incidence of shell blister and nematodes. Moving along to our scallop outlook for work priorities for the year, I'll just focus in on the fishing year 2027-2028 specifications, kind of where we are is finishing out the 2026 field season. We'll be moving into the scallop plan team's two-day meeting in late August to review and assess the survey information as that comes in. Framework 42, which, as we mentioned, action to look at the Northern Gulf of Maine submanagement areas and split days at sea by region. The plan team has been working on developing those measures, and we'll cover some of that here in a minute. On scallop research set-aside work, we've kind of been following that annual grant process. We held our research share day for this year, and right now, as we heard from the regional administrator yesterday, are kind of awaiting those final award decisions. And then on the development of the new projection methods, I'll cover that here in a second, but we're kind of in the beginning of that contract work, which will continue into 2027. And then for the strategic plan, we're working on the implementation plan to try to develop a three-year work plan for the fishery, which I'll also cover here in a minute. So first off, on the new stock projection methods, so this was a contract that was awarded to SMAST to develop a new stock projection model for council use in setting annual catch specifications for the scallop fishery. Drs. Adam DeLarghi, Steve Cadron, and Kevin Stokesbury are the PIs on this project. The overall project tasks here are kind of in three parts. Firstly, to complete a full written review of our current stock projection model, the SAMS model, and document the methodology and relevant literature. We'll see the development of a new stock projection model, which will also consist of conducting retrospective testing and compare that to the previous outputs that we've seen from the SAMS model, as well as up-to-date fishery and survey information. And then within that new stock projection model, we'll see a new LPUE subcomponent within the model that will be used for improved day at sea calculation, which has been of interest for catch setting in recent years. And the timeline for this work, so this is not expected to be used for setting 2027 catch specifications. This work is going to be really ongoing throughout the remainder of this year and into 2027. So April 1st is really the first of those deliverables. Next year, we would expect the plan development team to receive a presentation on the draft methods and results from the contractors. On May 1st, we would expect the SSC to receive a presentation on those methods. On June 4th is the deadline for a technical report, so the full methods results, the group's recommendations, and all of that provided to council staff. And then by June 30th, we would expect the delivery of that multi-user accessible projection model with the full documentation, workflow, and guidance materials. And so a lot of this work has stemmed from recent difficulties in catch setting without access to the SAMS model during the government shutdown. And so trying to have something in-house that the SCALP plan team would be able to use in that instance, and really looking to work closely with the Northeast Fisheries Science Center staff on the plan development team to really use and implement these new methods, probably alongside the SAMS model for the first year of catch setting. And so something that we're looking forward to working with them pretty closely with. But really the end result here will be something that we have in-house that the plan team can use. We've talked about this being an R package, so something that could be run fairly independently is the goal here. Moving on to the long-term SCALP strategic plan, just a reminder, this was our work last year. Looking to develop a shared vision for the direction of the scallop fishery over the next 3 to 5 years. We really formed this through four visioning sessions that we held. We had input from council members, fisheries staff, scallop fishermen and processors from across the region. And then we ended up with these 9 overall objectives and 29 underlying strategies that are trying to define a path towards those overall objectives. And the goal here with our implementation is really to kind of let this nest within the broader work around the holistic strategic plan, as this is kind of should be viewed as a fishery-specific implementation of that larger work. And so for today, just looking to provide an update on our kind of proposed approach to implementing the SCALP strategic plan, and we're not looking for council action today. So the goal here is really how do we get from a reactive fishery management to proactive fishery management? And our proposal here is the development of this 3-year work plan for 2027 through 2029. The steps here that we've outlined, so really first, the AP and committee identifying the highest priority items from within the SCALP strategic plan, and then looking to sequence those items alongside what we know are going to be annual required work priorities throughout those next 3 years. We would then really kick that back to the SCALP plan team for additional analysis and really to flesh out and develop that draft work plan. We'll then prepare to bring that back to the AP and committee for review and finalizing that work plan in September. And then that will kind of queue up committee recommendations for 2027 priorities, which would go to the council for final decision in December. And then come next summer, the AP and committee would then could then really review that planned work for 2028 and discuss any new additional work that wants to that the group wants to add for 2030. And we've started to kind of move the our process for priority setting out a couple of years and really thinking about longer term, maybe more analysis intensive multi-year work that we really want to get started with based on the, kind of the state of the research and what's really ready for the council to take action on. And so a lot of this has been informed by some recent and ongoing work. I won't walk through all of these, but really just to highlight, you know, this is since the strategic plan came out and was approved by you last December. We've seen work around real-time data collection, rotational management and fishing practices, scallop enhancement work, gear modifications, and scallop biology. There's been a lot of ongoing work that we're looking to kind of provide and help try to track some of the research needs around ongoing scallop work and really figure out what's ready for the plan team to start work on, for the council to take action on, and really kind of track some of these ongoing projects a little bit more closely. And then really figuring out how to sequence that within our expected work priorities. So this is kind of what we would expect tentatively for 2027, noting that we really aren't expecting a scallop RSA, notice of funding opportunity. So there's less kind of ongoing maintenance work there. We have our ongoing contract for the stock projection model. And other than that, it is really just setting catch specifications for the next year. And potentially a scallop framework for setting management measures, and that we really have a fair amount of time to start work on some longer term projects. And here's just an example of one of the committee's recommendations and how the group worked through this at their last meeting. So this is for the first of the strategic plan objectives around improving management capacity, flexibility, and responsiveness in a changing environment. And the committee really worked through these and thought about what holistically different partners within the scallop management process would need to be working on to move forward on some of these issues. And so this is really about, you know, using more real-time information and trying to make more flexible, adaptive management decisions more quickly. And so for council work priorities, the committee put forward recommendations around developing reactive management triggers for in-season openings and closings of an access area, an evaluation of best rotational management practices for small high-density areas. These are two fairly consistent management needs that have really trickled up over the last couple of years. For scallop plan team analyses, they talked about evaluating standards for that real-time data that would inform those reactive triggers, and then continuing to develop region-specific data at sea allocations. And then around scallop RSA priorities, and this is something that also got added to the scallop committee's recommendations for RSA priorities that you'll see today, but encouraging increased survey effort in access areas at the end of their rotational cycle, and then trying to develop a small-scale spring survey that could kind of spot check an access area before the start of the fishing year. So really thinking about some of these, the direction that was really outlined within the strategic plan, and then thinking about the actual work that it's going to take to achieve that, who needs to be doing that work, and what needs to kind of, what do we need to start that process? And so that's kind of our outline for how this three-year work plan will be developed. Really the next steps here are you know, the SCOP committee has provided their recommendations for the plan team, and we'll be kind of revising that and putting forward a draft work plan for their review in September. On to SCOP Framework 42. So again, the scope of this action, we've talked about catch specifications, region-specific day at sea allocations in Northern Gulf of Maine sub-management areas. objectives for you today. We'll be providing, looking for input on the development and timing of this action. So as the executive director mentioned yesterday, that we're thinking about separating specifications from Framework 42 to help really streamline the review and implementation of the action. And then if so, when would you like to take final action on Framework 42, which would just be the management measures that are outlined in the scope of the action right now. And then secondly, looking for a council motion to initiate Framework 42 and or a separate catch specifications package. On the right, the action milestones are really kind of tentative based on our typical timeline, but really running from mid-August when the survey data is delivered, and then typically to December when you as a body would take final action on Framework 42. So running through some of the development of the management measures that would go into this, this action, first on the Northern Gulf of Maine submanagement areas. This has really initially been suggested as a tool to control effort on Stellwagen Bank, but more broadly, this is about setting a more accurate fishing mortality rate for the entire area, recognizing that fishing effort within the Northern Gulf of Maine has been highly concentrated on Stellwagen Bank and is likely outside of the mandated range of 0.15 to 0.25. That's in the scallop regulations for the entire Northern Gulf of Maine. Kind of secondary benefits of this are really shifting effort to the other banks and ledges within the Northern Gulf of Maine, which typically don't see much fishing effort, and looking to find these smaller scallop beds that are not typically found in the surveys due to how heterogeneous the scallop habitat is within the area. Other benefits around extending the length of the fishing season there and potentially reducing vessel crowding. We had two concept management boundaries really drawn up for this. The scallop committee had tasked the plan development team to look at alternatives around this first concept, which would be really a larger southern area just specified around Stellwagen Bank, as well as a transit area which would allow access for vessels transiting through the southern area when that area was closed to access the northern area. We also had some discussions around whether access to these areas would be concurrent or sequential, which area would be open first. And so I think a lot of those decision points are still a little far out. But the committee's recommendation was to continue looking at options for both staggered and concurrent access to two separate sub-management areas within the Northern Gulf of Maine. They would have separate fishing mortality rates specified and applied to the exploitable biomass within each of those areas to set separate catch limits for each of those sub-management areas, and really allowing the council to fine-tune the amount of fishing pressure within each of those areas. And then secondly, looking at region-specific day at sea allocations, highlighting this is an item that was drawn really directly from the scallop strategic plan, and the goal here would be to enable the council to allocate days at sea separately between the Mid-Atlantic and Georges Bank. On the right, that map showing the 71 West boundary line, which has been the proposed split between Mid-Atlantic and Georges Bank, South Channel days at sea that could be used. And the idea here would be to reduce the risk of regional overfishing when we see these large differences in regional LPUE that lead the fishery to focus their effort on one region versus the other. And this has really been a issue that was highlighted in the 2025 stock assessment that noted that overfishing was occurring on Georges Bank specifically. And again, that's not the general stock overfishing definition, but just within that region in the terminal year of the assessment in 2023. And that was the year when this kind of concentration of fishing effort was greatest. From 2021 to 2024, the fishery saw 70 to 80% of effort on Georges Bank relative to the Mid-Atlantic. Granted, since then, 2025 and 2026, we've started to see that shift back the other way. And so, as I noted earlier, so far this fishing year, most of the open bottom effort has taken place in the Mid-Atlantic, And so whether this is a as urgent as this of a management issue as this seemed last year when we were really, concerned about this concentration of fishing effort in the open bottom. So there's some constraints on this region-specific day at sea system that we've discussed at the plan team and at the APA committee. Firstly, wanting to avoid overly constraining vessel operational flexibility. So just noting that if there are limits on where vessels can use their days at sea, you're by default kind of pushing fishing effort into areas with lower catch rates. And if they have full operational flexibility, they can go and target highest, the areas where they're going to see the highest, get the best price, the highest yields. This is going to, by default, limit that. And whether that is overly constraining or not was definitely a concern noted by the advisory panel. Secondly, really avoiding excessive management complexity. So thinking about the strain on the administration and monitoring and enforcement of this kind of split days at sea system, and whether the kind of back end lift for that is really feasible. The information we've gotten from the regional office staff has been that there is capacity to support this regional day at sea allocations in fishing year 2027, so for next year, but the trading of days at sea between region and vessels would not be able to be supported until fishing year 2028. And that is due to ongoing work to rebuild the allocation management system, the AMS. And so it's been a fairly a strong constraint. The AP and committee both discussed this lack of day at sea trading and really how that affected whether there was a recommendation to kind of move forward with implementation in fishing year 2027, push this back into 2028 until it could be implemented with a day at sea trading component that would really help ameliorate some of the operational flexibility concerns that the advisory panel shared. So really there are two concepts for how this could be designed. The first, really looking at vessel-specific allocations of Mid-Atlantic and Georges Bank Day at Sea. They would be delineated by that 71 West boundary line. Vessels would be allocated a fixed number of days at sea in either region. If there was trading involved, vessels could trade Mid-Atlantic days at sea for Georges Bank days at sea and allow for some flexibility there. The second was around differential day at sea counting, but I'll skip that in that there was really a strong recommendation to not look at that any further from both the AP and the committee. It was viewed as overly complex and really too constraining for the fishery to keep track of on the water if there were differential charging of days at sea. And so the committee tasking for this to the plan team was to continue developing analysis around this first concept, just looking at vessel-specific allocations of regional days at sea. So some thoughts on this. First, I'd really ask the council to think about the kind of the urgency of these measures for fishing year 2027 relative to 2028. Thinking about improving catch rates in the Mid-Atlantic, that's helped really shift fishing effort more equally between regions. And then really the declining catch rates on Stellwagen Bank, and really whether these measures are needed for fishing year 2027 or if 2028 implementation would also be reasonable. And then thinking about timing for implementation in fishing year 2028, the regional office has advised us that signaling intent for implementation in 2028 through an action that would start in 2026 would allow for that sufficient lead time to begin the development and implementation and really help them get ready for these measures to be put in place. And then lastly, thinking about the really flexibility of management and that implementation of these measures would not necessarily restrict the council to using them. These would be kind of tools in the toolbox. So having a day at sea system that could allocate days at sea differently across regions would not force the council to do that if they didn't want to. Moving along to the action development questions. So again, recent guidance here has been for has suggested that actions with more complex management measures, really leading to longer agency review, are likely the new normal. And how can we really improve the likelihood that fishing year 2027 specifications could be in place by April 1? And so the proposal so far has been really separating management measures from specifications and using two smaller, more straightforward actions to help get things in on time. So that would be Framework 42, which would consist of Northern Gulf of Maine management measures and regional days at sea, and then a separate specifications package. The council could take final action on the specifications in December, which would be the typical timeline to get things in place by April 1. But would have flexibility to take final action on Framework 42 at a later time. And so really two questions here, whether the council is interested in separating specifications from Framework 42 to streamline implementation, and then when to plan to take final action on Framework 42 and those management measures I outlined. So two scenarios here. Really the first is the typical approach. So this is one action. Framework 42 includes both specifications and management measures. This is our standard structure and timeline, final action in December. We think that it's fairly likely that the entire rule package would be delayed past April 1. And then thinking about Northern Gulf of Maine sub-management areas, if they're not in place by April 1, is it really worth delaying the implementation of fishery specifications to do that, given that it would not go in place for fishing year 2027 anyway? And then secondly, the second scenario would be two actions, as I outlined, and then really several different timelines for when to take final action on Framework 42. Discussion at the executive committee meeting was around initially taking final action on Framework 42 in September. This would be the fastest timeline that would be feasible with two council meetings. So initiating today and then final action in September. This would be the least amount of time for AP committee and public input and would really be the heaviest burden on on staff and the plan development team. We think that the timing of this would likely negatively impact the development of fishery specifications, which would be happening concurrently. Final action in December would really put it on the same timeline as Framework 42. That would be fairly typical. We'd just really be separating the documents into separate, rule packages. And then pushing final action on Framework 42 back to January or potentially to April. That would really be foregoing fishing year 2027 implementation and would be a kind of a clear signal for implementation in fishing year 2028. And Mr. Chair, I'll pause here and if there's any discussion or questions on Framework 42 before I move on.
I'll take any quick questions related to the presentation so far. Awesome, seeing none, roll on, Connor.
Moving along to scallop research set-aside priorities. As we heard, the 2026 notice of funding opportunity was delayed this year, and we're not expecting a 2027 RSA competition. We're expecting that the 2027 and 2028 priority language would really be used to guide modifications to the existing awards issued this year and would be included in the 2028 RSA notice of funding opportunity. Noting, too, that the council and regional office staff are still in discussions about potential adjustments to the administration of the grant to help improve the reliability and flexibility for both staff and the RSA grant recipients. For today, we'd be looking for approval of the 2027 and 2028 scallop RSA priorities. Just outlining some recent information from RSA awards. So overall, $238 million have been awarded in scallop pounds over the last 15 years. So that total funding is the average scallop price times the number of set-aside pounds. The majority of these projects have been for scallop surveys, followed by work on scallop bycatch and biology, as well as others on scallop resource enhancement and other priorities around wind and sea turtles and the like. We've seen a number of RSA recipients from different groups, but really three groups have dominated about 77% of these scallop RSA pounds. But we've seen 215 successful proposals over the last 15 years. And for 2025, we saw three projects funded around scallop surveys, three around scallop biological research, one project related to offshore wind development and wind impacts, and then one project around potential gear modifications. So that had an estimated value of about $32 million, and that was eight projects funded in 2025. And so two questions to consider around setting scallop RSA priorities, really thinking about whether the research is successful, and if so, is action going to be taken based on those findings? So what's the mechanism to use those results, and is it within the purview of the council to do so? And if the research is likely to be successful, what are what is the likelihood of success compared to the importance of the research questions? The other really consideration here is around the availability of scallop RSA pounds, really trying to focus priorities on the highest management needs, management research needs for the upcoming two-year period. Also want to note that around scallop survey coverage and the RSA-funded survey coverage, the majority of scallop surveys are funded through at least 2027, some of them through 2028. And so for this recent year in 2026, the proposals did not cover any scallop surveys. And so we really are focusing a lot of the language around the RSA priorities for these next 2 years around some of the biological research questions that the program's aiming to focus on. And so highlighting for the 2025 and 2026 period, highest priority is the scallop resource surveys, so surveys of access areas of interest, and broad scale surveys. Pretty much all the other priorities were considered medium priorities, from scallop biology down through offshore wind, and then one general research need around habitat characterization and fishery impacts. I'll walk through the scallop committee's recommendations. So first, scallop resource surveys would continue to be the highest priority within the RSA program. There was some additional language to encourage establishing that small-scale survey in access areas prior to the start of the fishing year. That's drawn directly from the scallop strategic plan. Increasing sampling effort in access areas at the end of their rotational cycle to reduce projection uncertainty, and then increasing sampling effort in areas with high densities of juvenile scallops. For medium priorities, and these aren't ranked in any order, no change to scallop biology, some minor changes to bycatch, and that's largely around expanding this to improving fishing practices. Some minor changes to commercial fishing gear for really the same reason, adding some language around improving fishing practices. Fishing in high density areas, scallop resource enhancement. Some of that language was changed to focus on identifying areas for scallop enhancement, so really figuring out where to conduct those activities. And then connecting that work that was the research that was done in state waters to a federal application. And then some changes to the prioritization that deprioritized offshore wind research and research around sea turtles down from medium priorities to general research needs. Really no change in the language of these priorities. But there was a lot of discussion at the scallop AP and committee around deprioritizing scallop sea turtle research. And so overall, the scallop plan team had fairly mixed support for deprioritizing this. Some wanted to see this removed, this priority removed entirely, noting that sea-trout bycatch isn't really a major concern for the scallop fishery in recent years since the modified gear was implemented. Others wanted to continue this as a general research need to continue monitoring. The AP and committee discussed this, and really in the context of the scallop fishery's biological opinion around sea turtles, the regional office's protected resources staff confirmed that there wasn't a necessity that the scallop research set aside program be the funding entity for sea turtle research. There was, again, one committee motion around recommending that the council request that NOAA Fisheries communicate this change in the prioritization of sea turtle research to the Office of Protected Resources. And just a note, really, why we're asking to set scallop RSA priorities if there isn't going to be a 2027 notice of funding opportunity. Just noting again that updating these scallop research set aside priorities can guide any necessary modifications that the regional office staff need to make to existing awards within 2027, and again would be included in the next upcoming or expected notice of funding opportunity in 2028. If needed, the council can revisit these RSA priorities prior to the 2028 notice of funding opportunity. And just noting again, we'd be looking for approval of these 2027 and 2028 RSA priorities today. With that, I'm happy to take any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Buckley. Any questions on the scallop priorities or back to the Framework 42 specifications component from the council? Mr. Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Connor, I have, going back to the beginning of your presentation, slide three, you say that 30% of the sub-ACL has been harvested as, I think that's May, probably the end of May. What's the corresponding number of percentage of days at sea used? Is that close to the 30%? Or, because I know LPUE is highest at the beginning of the year, and it consistently falls as the year goes on. So as long as they're close, I don't think there should be a concern, but just want to know what that number is.
It was about 32%, I believe, 31-32% by the end of May of days at sea used.
Okay, so days at sea is actually higher than the percentage of allocation that's been, okay, so I don't see a concern coming up in the future, because if LPUE consistently follows his history, you know, it should decline. So we shouldn't have any problem of exceeding our ACL, in my opinion. Just wanted to make sure that was clear.
Thank you for that. Any other questions related to the presentation? I'll go to the public. Dr. Quinn.
Thank you very much, John Quinn, Fishery Survival Fund, and I have one last question because Mr. Hansen asked my first question. On page 21, we talk about it is very likely that the entire package would be delayed if we did the specs and the management together. Is that based on discussions with headquarters, or because they've always been combined together, so we didn't know what, you know, prompted that consideration of taking two different tracks?
Mr. Pentney?
So I think it's based on the experience we've had over the last 18 months or so with a lot of our actions, and recognizing that, you know, for the scallop fishery, it's incredibly important to have the specs in place by April 1st and not to impose the default specs, particularly with as Connor mentioned, if one of the measures we're trying to get in place for 2027 is the Northern Gulf of Maine split, if we go to default measures, that completely undermines where we, you know, getting a Northern Gulf of Maine split in 2027. And if that, and that, but that could be the factor that actually causes the delay. And so it's really trying to like look at the, you know, do a risk analysis and say the riskiest approach in terms of having things in place by April 1st is to put the Daisy Sea split and the Northern Gulf of Maine split in with the specs. The safest approach, cleanest approach, is to just do specs and then do a follow-on action or a subsequent action that, or parallel action, however it would be timed, to address the Northern Gulf of Maine and the Daisy Sea split, if the council still wants to move forward with those, recognizing that we likely wouldn't have the Northern Gulf of Maine split in for 2027 anyway, because we're prioritizing getting specs in place. But those could be available for 2028. Okay. So we're really just trying to balance the risk of the approach and not get ourselves into a situation where it's March and we don't have a rule out and there's concern about going to default measures.
Just to follow up to that on the limited access side. So hypothetically, if you were going to do the split days, the regional days at sea, the actual number of days is the specs, but the drawing of the line would be a management action, right? So I don't think you could stagger those if you said, hey, you got 36 days, but we haven't decided where you can fish them yet. So I think they almost have to go hand in hand, at least on the limited access side, the management and the specs, particularly just as that is a hypothetical.
Mr. Pentney.
Yeah, thanks. Just as a quick follow-up, I think one of the things for the council to discuss, and I know they got some really good feedback from the advisory panel, was the idea of the days at sea split without the ability to transfer. And if the ability to transfer is a key component of moving forward with a days at sea allocation, we simply don't have the technology to support that for 2027. So 2028 at the earliest for the date for being able to transfer days at sea. And so I think that's, again, on balance, it's up to the council to decide, is it worth moving forward with the days at sea split without transfers for 2027, or should we hold the package until we can do the transfers along with the days at sea allocation?
Great. Just one last question, then I'll shut up. For Connor, is there any data of the distribution of the days at sea currently fished? You know, because the concern with this regional is that it was all up in the George, you know, the Gulf the last many years. Is that data that's available now on a real-time basis, or is that the end of the year you get that?
So the actual use of days at sea, we haven't specifically looked at that. But what we do have are kind of proxies for that, which would be the breakdown of landings by region, which we have and is almost exclusively so far used in the Mid-Atlantic and is now only shifting to the channel now. So for at least this year, it's probably upwards of 80-85%. We'll also in August be taking a deeper dive into the VMS data for the last couple of years. And we'll have a better breakdown of where fishing effort was being applied.
Great. Thanks. And just one final statement. If we ever thought we were going to be talking about approaching the sub-ACL a year ago, so I think it's good news the fishing's going as it is thus far. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Quinn. Dr. O'Keefe, quick follow-up.
Thanks. I also just want to comment on splitting specifications off this year and continuing to develop those other measures, the area-based measures. As Connor described, we can move forward with the development of those tools and have the tools in the toolbox so that we, you know, to Dr. Quinn's question, don't we have to couple the days at sea, regional allocation of days at sea with the specification of days at sea? That would be how we would set the specifications, but we can have the whole process in place in advance of that so that we're not forced to do a big analysis at the same time we're doing specs. And again, this is a little bit around what we've kind of been talking about with different ways to do our work. So not everything has to be a framework with an environmental assessment. We can do that work behind the scenes and then set a spec package that just pulls that tool out of the toolbox.
Thank you for that. Other questions from the audience in the room? Mr. Smoltz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ron Smolowitz, Technical Advisor to Fisheries Survival Fund. A quick question on the turtle conversation that we had. the statement is made that we do not have to use RSA funds to fund the turtle research. I fully concur with that. Up to now, we've had RSA funds and joint partnership with the Science Center doing turtle research. Without the RSA funds, does the Science Center have money to meet the reasonable and prudent measures? Apparently, the Garfield person indicated yes. I don't think so. So I'm wondering what is being done to meet the reasonable and prudent measures required by the scallop biop to allow the fishery to continue.
Dr. Hare?
Thank you very much. Thank you for the question, Ron. The Science Center has not received additional funds in lieu of the RSA funds, but I think the intent is to reach out to OPR, let them know of this change, and then for the Science Center, reach out to Office of Science and Technology, let them know of the change, and see, make sure that we can still meet the letter of the law.
Thank you.
Further questions from the room? Yes, sir.
Good morning, Chairman Salerno and council members. My name is Joseph Gilbert. I represent Empire Fisheries. I hail from right here in the port of Stonington, Connecticut. I very much appreciate the work the council does in today's presentation. Thank you. Throughout this presentation, I did see the words of resource enhancement, sea stars, and I would like to ask if there is still room to include in the conversation for priorities under the resource enhancement that we start to consider predator controls. I've run a parallel track in my career running an oyster business, Briar Patch Enterprises. We have a website here in Connecticut you can look. We grew to be the second largest in Connecticut by doing just that, by controlling predators. We realized that protecting the animals that we have is just as important as enhancement creating more resource. Sometimes it's essential. Sometimes you don't have resource to create. So right now we have a great opportunity in the scallop industry. We have seed that we're identifying throughout most of the historic range of the scallop fishery. And I really think at this point we should consider protecting it instead of letting nature take its course and finding ourselves trying to make more scallops and introducing them to the environment, which is simply going to feed the predators. So I think it is time for us to look at this and change the model a bit to include predator control, find a program where we could get the fleet to buy in and participate, perhaps for some trade-off pounds through an RSA program of some sort. But I'd like to see us begin this conversation. We did a little bit of this research ourselves, and we did identify beds or areas full of sea stars of different sizes, and we also recovered the little shells of what they're eating, and most of them were small, around as a pencil eraser in diameter, or your pinky nail. So if we could just increase survivability by 10%, 20%, 30%, let's say even 50%, just think about what that could do for yields in our industry and for the resource in general. So that's the message I'd like to bring. So my question is there room to begin to include this in a conversation? Thank you.
Connor?
Yeah, I really appreciate the comment. This is absolutely something that we've discussed and is included within our long-term strategic plan. It's something that we're trying, through this implementation of the three-year work plan, trying to sketch out what work we need to start on to really implement that priority within our strategic plan. So we've had a lot of conversations about it, and we expect to continue that work.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Gilbert. Further questions from in the room? Seeing none, I'll go online. Attorney Minkiewicz.
Thank you, Chairman. Drew Minkiewicz with the SSF. Number one, I just want to concur with Joe Gilbert on the importance of trying to move forward with scallop enhancement. And, you know, Connor and I just recently participated in a legal workshop that VIMS got funding through Sea Grant on looking at the legal requirements for us golf enhancement. I think that's an important first, one of those steps forward to move forward on this. But this needs to be a priority for the council. I mean, obviously, the last meeting I spoke with you when we didn't have scallops on the agenda, and this is one of the things I wanted us to be working on when we weren't working on specifications. And it's something we really want to move forward on. Question on the slide in front of us, Connor. Does the landings include carryover pounds, pounds from carryover trips to closed area one and closed area two?
It does not. These are just open bottom landings here.
Okay, so how would that then factor into how do those count against last year or do they count against this year when we're talking about the sub ACL?
Those would get included in this year, but it would not, I believe, affect the actual triggering of the AM. But they would be included when we're tracking the performance against the sub ACL.
Well, obviously, so it wouldn't count against like the F calculation to see if it needs to be triggered, but it would count as a total poundages and triggering going over, correct?
That's my understanding. I can double check.
Okay, and so we're talking about that's like an additional, what, 3 million pounds in that range?
Last I checked, about 3 million pounds.
Okay, so that's because I agree with Mr. Hansen's point that, you know, LP, we should level off a little bit as that's what traditionally has happened as the years go on. So hopefully this doesn't become an issue, but it's a bit of a champagne problem too, because fishing is much better. On the reports of, on the surveys, and also, you know, Mr. Gilbert brought this up as well, but I'm surprised to hear that the surveys aren't seeing much recruitment in places, because I'm getting reports of seed all over the place. Granted, people tell me what they want me to hear, but I've gotten more reports of seed this year than I normally do, and people are seeing it everywhere. So is there a disconnect between what is called recruitment, that it has to get to a certain size, and so seed doesn't count as recruitment, or did the surveys not see this at all? Because if you're seeing seed in commercial gear, it means there's a lot around.
Yeah, I have heard the same, and I think I'd just caveat that the early survey reports that I shared were early, and that it really, they're qualitative conversations between myself and the survey partners. So I think there's obviously they're continuing to work on the water. The surveys aren't done. And so I think we'll have a more full picture come August data delivery.
Okay. No, I appreciate that. And then now finally, this is more of a comment, but I just want to say that the idea of splitting off the specifications with the other work, given the way everything is lining up and the timing, now we should have the tool to do the dynamic days at sea, but it doesn't look like we would actually need it in 27, given the way the fishery is shaking out this year. I think it makes a whole lot of sense. And while normally I'm, you know, all for doing as much as we can, as quickly as we can, I think that given the situation we're in, the split makes a lot of sense. Thank you.
Thank you, Attorney Mikhaevich. Back to the council. Seeing none, I will turn to Chair Griffin. I believe there's a couple motions.
Indeed, there are, Chair. So I will wait for the first one to get up on the board. These are going to be around our RSA priorities. Thank you. So I would move on behalf of the committee that the council adopt the following scallop research set aside priorities for 2027 and 2028 as recommended by the scallop committee in document number 5. The priority list is summarized in the table below. High priority is scallop resource surveys. Medium priority, 2 to 6 of equal importance. 2 is scallop biology, 3 is commercial fishing gear, 4 is fishing in high density area, 5 is bycatch, 6 is scallop resource enhancement, And then general research needs 7 through 9, again, of equal importance. 7, sea turtles. 8, wind. 9, habitat characterization and fishery impacts.
This is a committee motion, does not need a second, so discussion to the council. Mr. Hansen.
Yeah, just like everyone to be aware that there, as we heard yesterday, there is no 2027 NOFO planned. So this list is a template for 2028. We have an option to adjust it in 2028 if we don't like what's happening next year. So like I say, this priorities for 2027 and 2028, but there is no NOFO planned for 2027. So just keep that in mind when we vote on this.
Thank you for that. Further comments, questions from the council on the motion on the board? Seeing none, I'll go out to the public in the room. Mr. Smolowitz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ron Smolowitz, Fisheries Survival Fund. I think that we've had the surveys as the highest priority, and it's certainly a very high priority for managers. But for the fleet, the highest priority is production and stability. I think resource enhancement should be moved up to the highest priority. And for an example, there's a lot of literature out there that controlling predators and shellfish production, even to a limited level, would probably quadruple production. There's way more benefit to doing resource enhancement work than there is to do the surveys from an economic standpoint. I'm a farmer now. I go to, I have a row of tomatoes. If I go down and say, oh, there's 100 plants, I'll produce 10 pounds of tomatoes per plant if there's no predation. But then I notice tomato hornworms on half of the plants. What am I going to do? Am I going to count the tomato hornworms and then estimate with a model what the reduction in production is going to be? Or am I going to pick off the tomato hornworms to get and maintain my production? Resource enhancement is the future of this fishery. It should be the highest priority, especially controlling predation.
Thank you for that, Mr. Smoltz. Any further comments from in the room? Online, any comments to the motion on the board? Seeing none, back to the council. Seeing none, is there any opposition to the motion on the board? Any abstentions? Seeing none, this motion will pass with consensus. Dr. O'Keefe.
Thank you. I just wanted to maybe ask Mr. Pentney a question. And as Mr. Hansen noted, there will not be a notice of federal opportunity in 2027. So these priorities do serve as a template for RSA program in 2028. We can revisit it prior to that cycle coming up if we would like to. Mr. Pentney announced at the beginning of the meeting that the 2026 awards have been made. They haven't been announced yet. So staff, we were hoping that we would have that announcement to inform this discussion for you guys this week around, you know, selecting priorities for the next 2 years with an understanding of what was awarded this year. We didn't. That was a little bit of a disconnect. But one follow-up that maybe the council could consider as a priority discussion. We used to have the searchable database of RSA programs, the website, and that has been disabled for some years. And I do think it might help the council, the PDT, AP committee, and all the way through the process to understand what projects have been completed, what project partners are meeting their their deadlines and their grant requirements, and how the project results have been used in management when we think about setting the RSA priorities. So we have a bit of a runway on this, I think, because there is not going to be a grant cycle in 2027. But it's, so maybe we could talk as a maybe a council priority to assist the agency in rebooting that website or maybe inheriting that website and making sure that that information is publicly available again. Thanks.
Thank you, Dr. O'Keefe. Chair Griffin.
Yes, so I have another motion on behalf of the committee. All right, on behalf of the committee, I move that the council requests that NOAA Fisheries communicate the priority change for protected species research to the NIMS Office of Protected Resources so that turtle research can be funded through that office going forward.
This committee motion again does not need a second. I will go to the council. Mr. Penney.
I just propose a friendly amendment to change that to GARFO so that it's clear that you're asking me to communicate with OPR, not
whatever the perfection is. Yes, GARFO. Yep.
To the council. Sorry, Dr. Hare.
I'd like to make another friendly amendment to Office of Science and Technology because they also provide funding for sea turtle, dedicated funding for sea turtle research. Yep, sorry. Research too, so it's the GARFO Office of Protected Resources.
No, GARFO Office. Delete the second GARFO, please.
Yeah, okay.
No, just GARFO.
Okay, and then after Office of Protected Resources and Office of Science and Technology. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I think we cleared this one up. Back to the council. To the public, here, online, back to the council. Any opposition to the motion on the board? Any abstentions? The motion will pass with consensus with one abstention from the RA. Ms. Griffin.
All right, so that is it for the research priorities, and now we'll move on to our initiating of actions. And this is not a committee motion. The committee didn't make any motions in terms of initiating action. So I would move that the council initiate an action that will set fishery specifications for fishing year 2027 and default measures for 2028, and separately framework adjustment 42, an action that will consider developing sub-management areas in the northern Gulf of Maine and region-specific day at sea allocations between the Mid-Atlantic and Georges Bank.
This will need a second, so I'll look. Mr. Hansen, seconding. Thank you. Rationale, Ms. Griffin?
Sure. As we talked about, this is the least risk to timely implementation of 2027 specifications. We talked about recognizing that transferability around regional days at sea is not viable until fishing year 2028, and this will allow for a more efficient development of new management tools. I think staff did ask about the time specific, so whether we need to put that in the motion or the rationale, my intent for this would be that we're targeting December spec final action and April framework 42 final action.
Mr. Hansen, anything further?
No, I think Melanie covered it.
Thank you. To the council on the motion on the board. Ms. Ware.
Thanks. Yeah, I get it. It's frustrating, but I get it. So I support the motion. I would just say, you know, I'd be in favor of April or January 2027 yeah. for the framework adjustment, and I say that just our scallop priority discussions are often some of our hardest discussions. There are a lot of big ticket items in terms of staff hours that we want to get done. And so I'm just trying to be conscious of, you know, priorities spilling over into other years and affecting already really tough conversations there. Thanks.
Thank you for that. Mr. Hansen.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. I think Framework 42, which has the days at sea, region-specific, and the Gulf of Maine regional divisions, I think it's a great tool, and it answers a short-term problem. We had high concentrations of fishing on Georges Bank. We wanted to fish forced to move into the mid-Atlantic. We had high concentrations of fishing in Stellwagen. And we wanted to move to other areas of the Northern Gulf of Maine. This year, Northern Gulf of Maine fishery has spread out, and the Georges Bank fishery has moved to the mid-Atlantic. So the issue is not as hot as it was anywhere. And it's a great tool, and I think the tool should be developed, but implementation isn't urgent. So I think the way this is divided and implementation for a future year other than 2027 is it would be great to have the tool in the toolbox.
Thank you for that. I will go to Ms. O'Dell and then Ms. Braun.
Thank you. So, Mr. Chairman, so just as a general note for responding to what Megan and then what Eric followed up on, maybe for this management considerations and under Framework 42, it doesn't matter that it may be delayed till an April final vote, but I do have concerns with this new approach in separating specifications from management measures and having it be too long of a period potentially, because December to April is maybe, you know, if this is a template that we're using for other fisheries and how we're going to set specs and management measures, there could be very different scenarios for each one of those. So I just caution, management measures are very, very, opening a fishery and having specifications is important, but management measures are just as important in certain instances when we're trying to mitigate impacts from specifications that we get delivered. So I just, the timing, maybe under this motion, you know, December specs, April management measures make sense, but I just want to caution that in other, we shouldn't use this as a template. We should consider what management measures are being considered and whether they're of high priority moving forward in other actions. So I am going to support this motion, but I am concerned about that timing. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. O'Dell. Ms. Braun.
Thank you. I just want to concur with what both Megan and Jackie said. I understand why we have to do this. It's unfortunate, but I also think we should take the time to not be rushed through on something as important as sub-areas in the Northern Gulf of Maine, which is something that the guys have been asking me for since 2011. So I know folks sometimes get upset at the amount of time that's spent at meetings on Northern Gulf of Maine issues, but they've been festering for over a decade back in Maine. So thank you, and I will support this motion.
Thank you, Ms. Braun. Further comments to the motion on the board from the council? Seeing none, I will go to the audience. In the room, online, Mr. Hughes.
Good morning, Mr. Chair. Good morning, Council. I fully support this motion the way that it's written. We have taken this approach in the past when something was going to possibly slow down the specification setting process. That is first and foremost for the scallop industry. So I fully support this motion and running them parallel with one another, or the part two of the motion maybe come a little later. So thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hughes. Any further comment from the public? Back to the council. Seeing none, I will go with a show of hands. For those in favor of the motion on the board, please raise your hand until I tell you to not raise your hand. Thank you. Those that are opposed, any abstentions? This motion will pass 17-0-0. Thank you. Back to you, Ms. Griffin.
That is it for the motions I have prepared. I'll just look to Connor to make sure he has what he needs from us for today. And I got a thumbs up.
Thumbs up. Thank you very much. So that concludes scallops. We're going to take a break until 10:30. Thank you.